Welcome to the 187th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast, where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host great pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis!
Ding, ding, ding. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm so affected by these Zoom recordings because I can't hear all the sounds.
I know. Yeah.
I feel
distant.
There's
a digital distance.
There is a digital distance, but it's all worth it.
It's worth it because we get to have cool guests when we do Zooms. When we do Zoom Zooms. And but before we get to that, before we get to our guest, I just want to issue a thank you to our listeners for providing us with more reviews probably this month than maybe the first month when we first started taking reviews, as well as many shares coming out. Thanks to y'all. We have hit a download milestone on a month record. Not only did we get 20,000 downloads for the first time in 1 month, not only did we get 25,000 downloads for the first time, we got 30,000 downloads in the month of January.
What the fuck?
And it's all thanks to our listeners who have been reviewing and sharing the podcast. I know it because we haven't really done much different. So again, thank you so much. It makes a big difference. You've been sharing it.
I helped.
I haven't seen you share it really, to be honest. So I'm talking to some other people actually.
Well, I do the recording. That's
what I'm saying. Like, folks, like we do what we can to make the show awesome, you know, and great for you. But when it comes to getting the word out, like, we need your help with that. And this month just proved it. I think, you know, we asked for some reviews at the beginning of the month. We begged. You guys came through. I think we got like 11 or 12 reviews, even though we got 30,000 downloads. That's what I'm saying. If you guys step up and share this show, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? I'd like to see it, though. Anyways, today.
Amazing.
Episode 187. Got a great
187.
Guest. 187.
187
on a.
Okay. I'm hauling 187 with my dick in your mouth, bitch.
Ooh, that's Dre, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Actually, for his episode. That might be Snoop.
I think that is Snoop. But for his seventh episode, it's Justin Peterson, everybody. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey guys. It's number seven. Number seven. I'm coming up to Kyle Land's number of, I believe, 22. I'm
really?
One is fourth of the way there almost. Yeah, I looked at the numbers today. Yeah.
You've got a goal.
I do. I hope to be on every other week this year. That's my goal.
Move in with me and we can just do it all the time.
There we go. That's the way to do it.
We'll have to keep you on speed dial there. Haven't had you on since Beef Time, episode 164.
Nope. Yeah. Yep.
Great theme. We played it last week. Thanks for that. Have you gotten any Beef Times at your special email address?
Zero Beef Times at beeftime@yahoo.com.
There it is. If you have beef, send it to them. Those are like elevated miscorrections, basically. Gripes, we would call them. Not just like correcting us, but if you got a gripe. You know, send that to Justin, he'll send it to us.
If you've got beef. That's right. Give me the beef, and I'll be the one to serve it on a hot, steaming platter to these two guys.
Yeah. And something else you've been serving up lately is some tasty, tasty art. Not only on the internet, on your social media accounts, but also on walls across this country in the form of murals.
Legitimately across the country.
Yeah, you've been traveling all over doing, do you want to explain? What have you been doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm painting murals for Jeremiah's Italian Ice. It's a ice cream company based out of Orlando, where I live. And since 2020, they've been opening new stores at quite a clip, to the point where it's going to be hundreds of new locations over the next few years. So I'm doing everything in my power just to hold on and traveling across the country painting these murals. It's a lot of fun.
You're like the little frog in the mural. He's always like surfing or, you know, on some journey, basically.
Yeah, the little frog is named Scoops. I gave him the name Scoops, Scoops the Frog. And yeah, he's always getting into little wild adventures that involve ice cream.
Wait a second. Scoops the Frog. What's the Smacks? Is his name Smacks? Smacks the Frog? The cereal mascot? Oh, okay.
That's right.
There's no overlap. He has a heroin addict. You're good. You're good. There's just want to make sure.
Yeah. I did my infringement going on.
All right, right on.
What are we doing?
And then the other artistic project you've had going on recently, you're continuing your journey in comics. People might recognize
starting to back up.
Yeah, people might recognize you from the original graphic novel series Very Near Mint that you created. Very good stuff there. Thank you. Illustrated some comics for Mad Magazine.
Quite a number. I was just actually reminiscing about my days at Mad last week, looking at that.
Had a question
again.
About Mad at Trivia a couple weeks ago. What is the name of the mascot of Mad Magazine? And only a quarter of the players could get it right.
Well, he was my boss. I never met him, but he was my boss, Mr. Alfred E. Newman.
That's correct. Yes.
Thank you.
And your new comic project is another self-produced indie comic series that you're working on, right?
Correct. Yes.
The Unbelievable Floridians.
Let it be known that Lee does not like that title.
It's growing on me. Like an orange.
Lee,
like a kid orange.
Kid Citrus. I contacted Lee about the name for the book. I was like, I've got some ideas. What do you think about this name? And then he was like, I hate it. I don't like this. This is not good. But I'm going forward with it anyway, so it's fine.
I think you should have called it me.
Had you sent it to me, I would have liked it.
Well, I'll send it to you next time, Mark, to get your approval first.
I would have gone with the Fantastic Floridians, but I would have spelled floor like F-L-O-U-R, just to really draw the comparison. Anyways.
So yeah. Hey,
you're probably better off not taking my ideas about that. The Unbelievable Floridians.
Comic, like I said, it's
grown on me, and the logo's great.
Thanks, man. It's about basically shitty Avengers. And I just bit my tongue while I said that. Shitty Avengers in Florida, living in like a secret base in the Everglades. I almost said Everblades, but that's a East Coast Hockey League team.
Yeah, that's our local hockey team. Yeah,
local
and folks,
hockey team.
I've read some of the script. It's going to be hilarious. I've seen the concept art. And if you want to stay abreast to the Unbelievable Floridians news, Justin, where can they find that stuff?
The most update information would be on my Instagram page at Justin Peterson.
Great. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, too. You brought some questions for us today, right?
Oh, I'm bringing the thunder today, fellas.
I know you work hard on the questions when you bring them.
I went and searched through the show notes to make sure that none of these have been duplicated.
Damn.
Wait, you went through like not just your episodes, but other episodes too?
I went through other episodes. I searched the keywords on the website to make sure these questions have not been asked.
Wow. Well, and let it be known, folks, if you want a record of the questions that we ask here, they're all up on our website in the show notes, a complete list of the questions, and you can search for them in the search bar, so you can take advantage of that like Justin did. Yeah.
That's right. Come on, man.
So great. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. But before we get to today's quiz, we don't have a weekly wrap-up, but we will get to those scores next week. In the meantime, going to let you know when you can join us for trivia. We have a few opportunities for you to do so in the coming weeks. First of all, this Wednesday, we're live at Point Ebell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for a no-nonsense trivia challenge based on your category requests. Please join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. Join us at Point Ebell Brewing Company on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30 p.m. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. And, of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. Find the link at the Nice Guys Pizza Trivia Facebook group or Facebook page. Just search Facebook for that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering there was a delay, I think that sounded delightful.
Yeah, I think we hit it at the right time.
An O delay.
Let's see how we fare on our quiz after we take a short break. We're back. Mark, how about you kick off round one with a question?
I wrote a baseball question.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. I appreciate that. More than you
who
know.
Who would have suspected
that we would have a
baseball question for Justin?
Well, I usually don't customize my questions for the guest.
Yeah, that's
However,
true.
I was kind of caught with my dick out because we did some bonus content for our lovely Patreon listeners, and I kind of blew my proverbial load of extra questions sitting around.
This my is trivia, when I'm glad we're on Zoom.
This is so you can zoom in on it.
This is all out of frame.
Pulling the curtain back a little bit, we're recording on a Tuesday night. We both have busy weeks ahead of us, mm-hmm. so I have not yet done my trivia. So I wrote a special one knowing that my dude is here while I was on the John and I busted out a baseball question. I don't know how hard it is. That's what she said.
No, it's cool. You went and did your thing. You kept me waiting. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome.
I'm not a busy man or anything.
Being on the show, it's a privilege and you'll wait as long as I have you wait.
Fair. Fair.
Everybody is entitled to go to the bathroom when they feel they need to. All right, let's move on.
Thank you.
Oh, all right.
What baseball player was drafted first in 1980, the same year as his brother Michael? First overall.
In 1980?
1980.
Nolan Ryan?
Nolan Ryan pitched in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, okay. So wouldn't he be the first draft in 1980? I guess it doesn't. Right. The draft first, doesn't work like that. You don't go back in once you're. No, you don't go back.
You don't
get traded.
You don't go back in. You don't get. You don't go back in every year.
That'd be embarrassing.
First pick, 1980. Same year as his brother Jordan.
Michael.
I thought Jordan. You said Jordan or Michael, and I went Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I think we all know what happened.
Brother
here.
Michael,
Ken Griffey Jr. Boy.
Doesn't have a brother. Ken Griffey Jr. No. Didn't join the show until the 90s. 1980. Boy.
What about that tall left-handed fucker? The Rocket or whatever his name is.
Well, the Rocket is Roger Clemens. You're talking about what's his face?
The lanky guy.
What the hell's his name? Totally like
Goof Troop.
He played for the Diamondbacks and shit. What the hell's his name? All right, we'll come back to that. 1980 draft. That's a year before I was born. That's not great. Though he would have probably been playing baseball when I was really interested in baseball. Drafted number one, same year as his brother Michael. Michael, we assume, would also be a baseball player. Michael.
That would be the hint.
Michael, the baseball player.
Michael Mike. And his brother.
Mike and his brother Mike. Mike. Michael. If I keep saying it, something will happen.
80s
let
pitchers.
It be known that what I'm looking off. Did he say pitching?
I thought he said pitcher.
I think you only brought up pitching. Did
oh really?
Mark say pitching?
Both of you guys, just assuming stuff. It's really weird.
What the hell? Can you re-ask the question again?
Yeah, I guess.
Pete Rose. I mean, this just opens the field now.
What baseball player drafted first in 1980, the 1980 draft, first overall, the same year as his brother Michael? I know it can't be anyone.
Could be anyone that plays baseball.
Really can't.
With a brother named Michael. That happened to be drafted first in 1980.
You know what's funny is, like, the baseball draft is so... People don't pay attention to the people. Certainly didn't pay attention to it in the 80s. Yeah,
I'm not paying attention to the 1980 baseball draft.
No, I'm not. No one's really paying attention to it now either, is the thing. Like, the football draft is really the big draft. 1980 MLB draft. I'm looking at a poster of baseball jerseys through the decades. Michael. I'm blanking. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Boy, who could it be?
Who would have started in 1980?
Well, just because they were drafted in 1980 doesn't mean they're going to join. Nolan Ryan, in the 60s. Just because they were drafted in 1980 doesn't mean they started playing baseball in 1980. They couldn't. I mean, they would have been on the minor leagues. They might have been brought up a couple of years later. So you're talking about mid-80s, especially if you're drafted number one. You would assume it's probably a bigger player.
Is it Doc Ellis, who pitched the no-hitter on LSD?
No, I'm thinking maybe Bo Jackson.
Bo knows
that might be a fair. That might be 1980? A fair guess. 1980. I don't know if Bo Jackson had a brother.
He also played football, right?
He did play football. Yes. He played football for, if I'm not mistaken,
Cowboys.
Auburn.
NFL.
He played NFL. He was on. The Raiders? Mark? Bo Jackson, the Raiders?
Bo Jackson played for the Raiders, right?
Yeah, right. He was on the Royals, and he didn't play for the Chiefs. I think he was on the... Anyway, we're down a rabbit hole. Let's just say Bo Jackson, because I have no idea.
Bo Jackson.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Bo! Yeah. Wrong.
Bo Jackson, I believe, was, from what I'm looking up here,
90s.
He was drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucks, actually, in 1986.
Okay, so a couple years
off. So I'm guessing baseball was somewhere around there. Though he was drafted, you mentioned Nolan Ryan, 1965. Nolan Ryan was drafted by the New York Mets, the same as this gentleman, Daryl Strawberry.
No!
Daryl Strawberry, 1980 overall.
Michael Strawberry.
Mike Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry. Wow. Plagued with cocaine problems later on.
Yeah.
The New York Cameo Mets on the Simpsons. Growing up, they were my favorite team. Like, my first baseball team that I followed was the New York Mets. Howard Johnson.
Glad I stumped you with some baseball.
Thanks. Yeah, you stumped me. You did.
How about some baseball redemption? I have a baseball question too, because I do like to tailor my questions to our guests. So of course, I wrote one.
Great.
Here's a redemption mode. And this is actually a design question as well. Uniform design. Okay. Now, don't look at your poster. Right. Don't look over your poster.
All right.
I don't know if that has, you said it was through the decades, but this is a modern, contemporary design question.
It goes up pretty late.
Yeah. Yeah. But try to go from your memory here. And Mark, obviously join the sus if you feel like you might know. I'm not sure what a...
I'm going to stop you for 2 seconds. This is totally my wheelhouse, baseball uniforms.
Yeah. Yep.
Totally.
The question I have is this. What National League baseball team is Major League Baseball's only team to wear their jersey numbers on their sleeves?
Ah. Mark, do you care to wager a guess?
No.
You want me to narrow the focus down for you slightly?
Sure.
Nationally East. Oh, he knows a bit about this.
Nationally East. Well,
so you're down to five teams.
I don't know if I know the National East teams.
New York Mets, I know. Marlins, Braves, Phillies, and Nationals. Not the Nationals, though. It's not. That's not the answer.
Those are the teams, huh?
Those are the teams.
Give me them again.
Phillies, Mets, Marlins, Braves, Nationals.
Is it the Braves?
No,
it is not the Braves.
Okay,
so now we're down to four.
Just tell Justin, us. Just give us the answer, buddy.
It's the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. Yes, there were two other teams that reportedly did wear their jersey numbers on their sleeves. That would be the White Sox from 71 to 75 and the St. Louis Cardinals in 1979 and 1980, but the Phillies are the only current team that wears their numbers on their sleeves.
Yep.
They're also the only team to have a weird fucking thing with a horn for a nose or whatever the fuck.
The Philly.
Well, that's interesting. That leads me into my next question, which is also a baseball question, fellas.
Oh my gosh, a baseball super round.
this is a nightmare.
Sorry if you don't like this sports,
because this is
going to be
as boring as actual baseball.
This is so boring. We're starting off super boring.
Let's get the baseball
while
out of
the Philly
way.
Fanatic, Mark.
Oh yeah,
the Philly Fanatic may be one of the most popular baseball mascots. He is not the first. The tradition of baseball mascots began in 1964 with the introduction of who? I'm looking for the first
baseball
mascot. It is a baseball only mascot. I mean, that's a baseball question. So yeah, it's not the Philly Fanatic. He, I think, goes to other events like in towns and stuff, but this is a pure baseball mascot.
Hmm. I don't know many baseball mascots. I thought that the Philly Fanatic was called the Philly.
Yeah, that's a good jumping off point.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got these baseball questions out of the way first round.
Do the Braves have a mascot? I'm sure they all do.
It's the Boston Red Sock.
Yeah.
It's just a giant sock.
Oh, look, it's a Seattle Mariner.
I was going to say that. Jesus Christ.
There's the Angels. There's
the LA Dodger. Mm-hmm. He's a draft Dodger.
Whoa.
They made him a draft Dodger because when they moved to LA, they couldn't dodge trolley cars anymore.
I have gout. I can't.
That's right.
I can't serve.
The Brooklyn Dodgers, right?
Mm-hmm. That's who the Dodgers were first. Trolley Dodgers.
Okay. All right. I'm learning.
Yeah.
What other baseball mascots do we have, Mark?
The New York Metropolitan.
This is like a baseball glove, right?
It's an opera singer.
Or no, Mr. Met. Mr. Met.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. He's got a giant baseball head.
Well, let's go with that.
Yeah. He looks like
to the Mets.
He looks old school, dude. I mean, it's like the most basic thing you could think of, like a baseball guy at the baseball game.
We're going to say Mr. Met.
I have no idea how you pull that out of your asses.
Oh my God. I'm glad I checked my levels earlier.
Dude, that was crazy. You said Metropolitan, and then I remembered that there was a Mr. Met. That's
how
amazing.
Great is
Mr. Met
that great. You and I had baseball questions. He got yours, didn't get mine. He asked us one, and we got it together.
Yeah, that's so crazy, show. Insane.
All right,
good job, boys.
Feeling good, feeling great,
feeling great, feeling good. How are you? All right. Here is another question. For you,
that was a good question, by the way, Justin. I like that. The first baseball mascot. I can't believe it was Mr. Met. I thought you were going to say that's a good guess, but it's actually this thing that doesn't exist anymore. So, because I wanted to ask, like, is this a contemporary mascot? And then I was like, I shouldn't ask anything else.
Well, I resisted giving you guys any hints because Aaron called me out on that earlier today, told me not to give you guys hints because I'm a hint giver.
Thank you.
And I wanted to make sure that question, all the questions I asked or I'm going to ask, including that one, I made sure that they were like the current answer, right? Like, I didn't want you guys to say like, well, it's a mascot that doesn't exist anymore. That's not really fair. So, you know, yeah, I looked out for you boys.
Thus concludes here is baseball super round.
Baseball. Beef time. Here is the second question for me. What city is home to Marco Polo Airport, the place of his birth?
Isn't he a Spaniard, is he not?
Is he? I thought he was Italian.
I don't know what he is then.
How sure are you that he's Spanish?
3% sure.
Oh, that's very low.
Very low.
There was a show. Wasn't there like an HBO or Showtime show? I hate that we have to go this route for the sus, but this is where we're going. Wasn't there a Marco Polo show?
If there was, I don't recall.
Oh.
What's it called?
I thought it was called Marco Polo.
Oh, no, I don't remember if there was.
I think he was Italian, man.
What city's airport?
Marco. I mean, that's not a very Italian name now that you mention it.
Well, you almost have, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe Marco is an Italian name.
I think you're right now. I'm starting to come along here. When I think about his name, Barcelona.
I mean,
it's Barcelona. Okay,
Marco
please.
Polo is like a world traveler, right? Maybe would the airport be close to the coast? Is Barcelona close to a coast? I have no idea. I don't know if this is like, if we're going down a rabbit hole that doesn't make sense.
Hey, Justin, can you name another Spanish city?
Justin.
Yeah.
Space goes close to coast.
Did you say space glost?
I said space goes coast to coast. Close to coast. It's okay. Like space goes coast to coast, but you said it's close to coast.
Close.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Coast.
All right.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Wow. All right. We got there.
Is not a Zoom joke, Mark. This is not a Zoom joke.
Clearly, I don't think it's a joke, period.
Barcelona is the best guess I could come up with. My personal world traveler is in the other room making trivia for herself. So I am bad at world trivia like this.
Is Catalina a Spanish city on the coast or an island?
It's a club mixer.
Or is that, I was going to say, is that off the coast of California? Where the Catalina wine mixer is.
I'm maybe not the right
Barcelona.
Guy to be asking this. Barcelona.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer, the correct answer is Venice.
Venice. Italy. God damn it. He's Venetian.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I'm dumb.
No, well, you know, I stereotyped his name, so fooey on me.
It wasn't until I was like 30 that I realized that Parisian meant from Paris.
Oh, yeah.
It took me that long.
Well, there's a slight pronunciation change.
Local area trivia quizmaster.
Somebody... we'll get to this in the miscorrections, but somebody was like, I can't believe I have to point this out to you. And I wanted to respond, look, we just host trivia. We don't know everything, you know, like we're not experts in knowledge, but we do trade in knowledge. You know, that's what we work with. And that's what we want to bring to you folks. Now, I've got a two-parter for my next question. I think you're going to come across the first part pretty easy is why. Salad bars. Is the category salad bars?
You're looking at a couple guys. These guys right here. These couple guys eat a lot of salad.
I do love salad.
He does. As a fat man. Yeah, Mark or he eats more salad. Like when we go out to eat, I guess I probably go out to eat with Mark probably more than anybody else. Though now that I think about it, but always a salad, right?
I do love a salad.
Yeah,
not for breakfast.
Well,
I think on 1, 2, 3, we should say our favorite salad from our favorite chain. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3. Outback.
Draft House salad.
Greek salad from Jet's Pizza.
Mm. From Duffy's. I like the Draft House salad.
That really didn't work out well. Anyway, continue on.
Well, now you know, folks. Here's my salad bars question. During the 80s and 90s, Wendy's customers could spend $3 to eat salad, Mexican fare, and pasta from which restaurant feature that began disappearing from locations in 1998?
The salad bar had a name?
Yep.
In Wendy's.
Justin. Wendy's.
Yeah, man.
You're a baseball man.
It's true.
I'm fat. I'm a food man.
I'll only tell you also this. Not a Wendy's man.
I love Wendy's. As far as fast food goes, they have some of the best burgers, I think.
They're pretty good burgers. I have some issues with some of their food sourcing, which you can look up on the Coalition of Immokalee Workers website. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. So I don't really go to Wendy's too much, but for just, you know, judging by their food, I do agree their burger is pretty good for a fast food joint.
Now would be a good time to mention this is hashtag not an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Not
just
sponsor.
A question.
They had hot dog buns, or hamburger buns, rather, that were cut in half and buttered as makeshift garlic bread with pasta. They had some pretty yummy tacos. They had salad. And you could get all three of these items at the Super Bar. It's called the Super Bar, Wendy's Super Bar.
That is correct. Well nice. Done, Mark. But now Thank I will you. Put you to the test with my follow-up question.
Oh,
right. I thought you might know
two
that.
Parts.
Yes. What were the three stations at Wendy's Super Bar that offered salad, Mexican fare, and pasta, respectively? They each had their own names, and these were various answers that came in when I asked this question live. People used these names instead of Super Bar, many teams, but these were actually three substations at the Super Bar. What were they called?
I don't know.
One offered salad, one offered Mexican fare, and one offered pasta. They had little signs above the each station.
Yeah, this I don't know.
No idea? Salad?
Soup? Pasta?
I mean, what, Little Italy?
No. The pasta one was called Pasta Pasta.
Okay.
The Mexican fare section was called Mexican Fiesta. And the salad section was called the Garden Spot.
Okay.
Cool.
That's the G-Spot. That's what they mean by
exactly,
the G-Spot.
Exactly, yeah. People were writing down G-Spot. People were actually writing down Mexican Fiesta. But overall, it's called the Super Bar. So there you go. Two levels of difficulty there for you, Quizmasters, if you would like to use that in that question.
Damn.
There you go.
Justin, you want to wrap this up?
I'll wrap it up. In 2006... sportscaster Al Michaels was traded from Disney to NBC for the rights to what character originally created by Walt Disney in 1927?
Do you know this, Lee?
I think so. Can I hear the question one more time?
In 2006, sportscaster Al Michaels was traded from Disney to NBC for the rights to what character originally created by Walt Disney in 1927?
Yes, I do think that this is a what was considered to be like a lost Disney character for a number of years until this trade went down. And then you started seeing the character popping up in merchandise and even sharing the lead role in a video game for the Nintendo Wii, and it's a character that looks a little bit like Mickey, but has long ears instead of circular ears, and his name would be Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
That is correct.
So Woo! Did Disney sell Oswald to NBC?
They traded for Al Michaels.
Well, so when Walt Disney, Oswald was created as a work-for-hire thing, NBC Universal eventually got the copyright to Oswald. When Bob Iger, the CEO, came on board, one of his mandates was to get that character back. So when he found the opportunity to trade Al Michaels to NBC to work with what's his face, John Madden, they found the perfect opportunity to trade. They had good trade bait, and they did it.
Damn, I wonder if Bob Iger's middle initial is T. Bob to Iger.
That would be great. But you would think that he would go by that. I think if I had that situation going on with my name, I would be Bob T. Iger. Iger. Yeah.
T. Iger.
T. Iger uppercut.
T. Iger.
Yeah. How do you think that felt for Al Michaels being he traded against the cartoon? So
Oswald's one of my favorite characters. I love the alternate history possibilities of it. You know, when I was just at California Adventure, I got my photo with Oswald. So I love the character. But Al Michaels actually felt great about it. He thought it was a totally fair trade and understood what Disney was trying to do.
That's great.
Damn.
All right. Huh. Well,
that
wraps up round one.
Wow.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Oh, damn.
Let's take a little break. Let's
take a break.
And then we'll come back.
For a break?
From our break.
Miscorrections.
With some miscorrections.
Some no notes.
In this very special Zoom episode.
More trivia?
Yeah.
No, we're done. We're done.
All right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections. Thank you, Mike, for that missed corrections theme. We love hearing new takes on the theme, so if you have one, feel free to send it in to us. Mm-hmm. Got some no notes here. First up, from Kyle Prophet. This is in reference to episode 184. Kyle writes, "This isn't a missed correction. I just feel there's an even more interesting fact that should be mentioned when talking about John Tyler. He didn't set any records for his politics. In fact, he was kicked out of his own political party. However, he does own the record for the oldest president that still has living grandchildren. He was born in 1790 and still has one living grandchild alive today, who's 92.
Jesus.
So there you go. I mean, you know, he had like, what'd you say, 15 kids?
Yep.
He was playing the long game, is what I'm saying.
Justin, you hear this episode about me talking about this guy fucking a lot?
John Tyler?
No, I haven't caught all the way up yet. I'm sorry.
This guy fucks so good. 15
I wonder
kids.
If him and James Buchanan ever cross paths.
You got the
he got has the a swagger strokes. In his step, doesn't he?
I walk with a swagger.
We got another no note here from Rumpelsnailedskin Chris M, also in reference to episode 184. Good sussing on the question I sent in. I agree with the changes with the NBA team. Even give a year, as that would narrow the possibilities within a realm. This was the Swamp Dragons question. I thought Swamps would guide people towards one of three options with Miami, New Orleans, or New Jersey. Thanks for that again, Chris. We also have a missed correction from Chris. The Detroit Red Wings, not the Bruins, began the tradition of throwing the octopus in 1952 in the playoffs, since it took 8 wins to win the Stanley Cup. Now it takes 16, but then it was 8. So the octopus, I guess, is a reference to that.
That's so interesting.
Detroit Red Wings, the throwing of the octopus. And then in episode 186, we got a lot of notes about the relationship between FDR and Teddy Roosevelt, because I think I errantly said, or, you know, implied that FDR was Teddy Roosevelt's son or related to him in some way because they shared a last name. And many people wrote in, including Dr. QMF, Chris M, some other folks on Twitter, I think this is from Chris M. here. FDR is not the child of Teddy Roosevelt. TR had six children: Quentin, Archie, Teddy Jr., Ethel, Alice, and my personal favorite, Kermit. Franklin was fifth cousins with Teddy Roosevelt and Eleanor's father. Elliot was Teddy's younger brother. There is some discourse on our Discord server about this. If you want to see a family tree chart, you can go there and join the conversation. We also heard from Adam, Death Stars are the best stars on our Discord. He writes, catching up on episodes still regarding the doorknob question. I believe most hospital doorknobs are made out of stainless steel or aluminum. I know I've seen copper suggested as a more appropriate door handle because of the antimicrobial nature, but it would be much more expensive. I think the question regarding its antimicrobial property doesn't need the hospital anecdote. And one last note, if you are going to ask what metal, you would need to also accept any copper alloy, such as brass or bronze. So a bit of feedback on that question from Adam. And lastly, I just want to point out, I think I said in the last episode that hiccups were a medical condition when you asked me if I felt like that would be an appropriate term. And after thinking about that, I don't know. You know, I think a medical condition might imply something that's more long term than like a short term ailment. That's how I might describe hiccups, as more of a short term ailment. I did go to Reddit. I went on to Ask Science and I said, hey, medical professionals, are hiccups and other short term ailments, can they be technically considered medical conditions, or is that reserved for, you know, longer conditions or longer ailments? And nobody answered me. So fuck them. But if you have any information about that, or if you have a miscorrection or rate my question, go ahead and send us an email, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And if you're enjoying the show, again, please give us a review on Apple Podchaser or Good Pods. And we are now open for ratings on Spotify as well. Very easy to rate over there. I don't think you can even leave a comment, so you just go click, boom, 5 stars, boom, and that just helps us so much. All right,
boom,
boom.
Now got a question for you guys about early space race is the category. Early space race. And this was a category requested at Ollie's Pub. One of our final questions, our wager questions. And the question is, in which country did the first manned rocket flight occur? In which country did the first manned rocket flight occur?
Well, we got obvious ones: Russia,
United States. We know United States was beat by Russia to space.
China. Manned rocket ship.
See, that sounds manned rocket to space. Was that your wording there, Lee?
In which country did the first manned rocket flight occur?
All right. I think we're in the realm of like the like test flights that like Neil Armstrong would have been part of, because those were technically, they were like rocket planes. I don't know. He's saying manned rocket like it's it doesn't sound like it's going to space.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Yeah, I think this is a trick question meant to trip you up.
Yeah, when you asked him to clarify and he just went,
yeah.
What state? It's like immediately just repeated
the question. Country did the first manned rocket flight occur?
Manned rocket flight.
And I mean, that doesn't even necessarily mean it went into...
No, it could. I mean, manned rocket.
I don't know how long it needs to be, or if it needs to be successfully landed for it to be a rocket flight.
I mean, again, you have the two obvious answers of the USSR and the United States, but
I don't think it can be either of those.
I don't think it can be either of those because it's too easy. But also, could it be one of those? Because he's saying manned rocket flight, but not first man in space or first orbit or whatever. I mean, I think it's.
I swear to God, if he does some shit where it's like, a dude on a boulder in a catapult, and it's like, technically it's called a Ra because
I will no, be no, no, no. So this is an man. Early space race is the category here. So nothing, there's not gonna be any, you know.
What about early China? Space race. Well, I mean, if China, Japan, I mean, I don't think they were playing ball at that point in terms of like getting into space.
Okay. Do you think it's America or USSR?
I think he's being tricky personally.
So do I. So if it's not one of them,
I would say it's the United States. If it's not one of those, I mean, who are the other major world players? Late 40s, early 50s, you know, the United Kingdom, USSR, United States, Japan. Like, those were major world players there in the, you know, mid-century. So, Lee, could it be, son of a bitch.
Did he give a year?
He did not. He said early space race, which again could we could be talking about. We could be talking about Germany. We could be. Oh,
I was going to say Germany.
There it is. There it is. Because technically they were testing rockets. And, you know, the conspiracy theorists will say that they were trying to build a space station on the moon and all that sort of stuff. Maybe
Lee's been listening to Joe Rogan.
Uh-huh. A little too much, Lee. A little too much. Let's say Germany.
Well, Mike Canary did bring up Joe Rogan on our Patreon bonus episode last week. But I haven't gone
Germany,
and listened.
I think Germany is a good guess. We're going to say Germany.
That's correct. Oh! Well done. Well all done. Right. Yep.
Very so, early.
Yeah, this question, I wouldn't say it's a trick question, but I will say that when I read it, I don't know that I gave it the proper enunciation. You know, I think a lot of people assumed I was talking about into space and wrote down Russia. And when I read the answer, it was like a fart, a wet fart let out into the room. You know, like it was like, oh. Germany, huh? Okay, I guess I see where that, like, yeah, they kind of went there. But you picking up on, you know, the detail that it's the first manned rocket flight, not into space, but it was influenced, like, the reason that this, I consider this to be an early space race question, is because that's what these guys were all about. They were like, let's get into space. And in order to do that, first we need to make a plane. So they did that. Then the Great Depression hit and it, you know, caused global shortages, I guess, or I don't know how it affected Germany, but it apparently affected Germany and they had to scale it back to working on rocket powered cars. Very frightening idea in my mind, but
yeah.
Keep it. We like, don't need, no, I want to expect to go into the air with this rocket. I don't want to, like, they're like putting like extra things that are like going against the ground on the bottom to keep it from anyways. This guy, Fritz von Opel, had an interest in space flight and funded the entire thing. And then a lot of these Germans ended up coming over to the United States and developing the rocket program used by the United States during the space race. So when I think early space race, this is like as early as you can probably go with the space race.
If you, you know, are a space nerd, and I know a lot of Floridians are, and maybe some Texans too, since that's in maybe Alabama, like there's some states that have some real space nerds. And I would think that those people might have a little more knowledge of that, but definitely, you know, Germany, everything you read about the early space race, like you said, Germany is always, you know, like, oh, they were testing rockets specifically during World War II. So, and that's just a handful of years before, you know, the space race really kicked off.
Yeah. And if any quizmasters want to make this question slightly easier, I would say you could just include the year. In 1929, in which country did the first manned rocket flight occur?
Wow.
Or put it on the end. So, yeah.
There you go.
Sadly, zero teams got that right when I asked it live, but, hey, but I wanted to, we got I wanted it right. to run Look it past. At us. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to run it past you guys. See what you thought. Mark, what do you think about that question?
I think it's okay. I, you know, it's just one of those, I mean, I don't think you did anything wrong because you did not say into space. It was one of those where I knew automatically it was not going to be the United States. It was not going to be the USSR. And then from there, you're just kind of like left floating because it wouldn't have been too easy. I mean, if it was a 5-pointer, especially, yeah, I think that has to be taken into consideration for your trivia because that kind of lends itself.
It was the final question. So it was the 7-point wager question.
Right. So USA and USSR are absolutely out of there.
Yeah. And Russia for that matter.
When did this happen?
This was last week or the week before.
No. The
1929.
Yeah. I mean, space race might be a little
It's a stretch, but
misleading.
I think it's fair.
If the category was just space race, I could totally get the criticism there. But the fact that the requested category was early space race, it got me digging down to like the earliest, you know, efforts.
But when I think of space race, I think of like specifically trying to get to the moon or trying to get to the space, which I don't know that the German rocket flight necessarily was trying to.
No, but that was it was a project that was part of like an organization that was like called the Space Flight Society in German. So like that was like their, and this was a stepping stone. They got the funding specifically like we're going to do the first stage of this will be like a manned flight. And then the money dried up during the Great Depression and they had to pull it back to cars. So I get what you're saying. It feels wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. You didn't do anything wrong.
If you're just a casual observer.
I wanted to run it past you because it was just a memorable question, I think. You know, it stood out. The reaction stood out a little bit. So, Mark.
All right. Here's a question for you. What television series originally running from 2003 to 2006 included such episodes as Peer Pressure, Key Decisions, and Afternoon Delight?
Do you have any guesses, Lee? Because I know exactly what it is.
Oh, really?
I thought you might.
Do. Yeah.
Key Decisions. What was the first one?
Peer Pressure. Afternoon Delight.
Well, you were just singing it, Mark.
I was.
We were talking about rockets.
Afternoon Delight.
Mm-hmm. What a segue. Did you plan that? Or is this just...
It was a little bit of kismet. I'll explain afterward.
Right. My guess was maybe Chappelle Show.
Mm, that is not correct.
No, that's too late for that, right? 2006 or 2003 to 2006.
Yeah.
Colbert
the
Report?
Show. No, it is a sitcom on Fox.
Situational comedy.
Key Decisions. It's a sitcom that has like recurring segments.
These are episode titles, not segment titles.
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know. Community.
No, that was on
NBC.
There's
more seasons than that. Yeah,
there are 6 seasons. This only had 3 and then a Netflix revival.
Oh, Arrested Development.
That is correct.
Yeah,
that is correct. So
Justin leading me to water.
I was trying to lead you, man. I was trying to do it.
I'm drinking.
You drank.
I'm drinking, buddy. Originally, this was my 12th question, so I told everybody that I had a question about television. And the original question was Mother Boy XXX, Marta Complex, and Prison Break-In were all episodes of what TV series, but I knew that would be a little too easy for you.
Yep.
So I decided to reverse engineer it a little bit, mention that it was a TV show from 2003 to 2006 to give you a little bit of a hint, and then mention those. And when I looked at a ranking of the best episodes, of which Afternoon Delight was, I think, the 6th ranked highest. And so I had to include it since I mentioned Afternoon Delight.
Michael and maybe are singing Afternoon Delight at the company Christmas party, and they get through like the first verse and it's not weird. And
Michael or George Michael?
Michael. Because George, yeah, it's a whole thing. Michael and Maybe are hanging out, and then they're singing Afternoon Delight at this company party, and then they realize what the lyrics actually mean. So it's so good.
Awkward. Good.
I got to give that show a rewatch.
If I start watching that show again, Erin will pull out more of her hair that she's already pulled out living with me.
Jeez.
Yeah, she will not.
She just cringes when she hears the music.
She's just like, again, can't you watch something new? And I'm like, no, these are my friends.
Oh, that's depressing.
It is depressing.
Right. Let's get a question from you, Justin.
All right, here we go. What soft drink was created in Tennessee in the 1940s, originally developed as a mixer for whiskey?
I think we've had this.
Gotta be Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I think we've had some variation of this. I might be wrong. It might just be something that I know, but I'm pretty sure it's Mountain Dew, yeah.
Well, I will say that Lee needs to work on the website and work on his soda tags, because I looked up Mountain Dew with a search and find on multiple pages.
Well,
we don't put
the answers on the search.
Well, I looked soda up. I looked pop up.
Oh, okay.
I guess I didn't look up Tennessee.
I would call
needless
pop.
To say, yes.
Okay.
And there's also sometimes they might be on a bonus episode too on Patreon. We can't sometimes keep track of what we ask on the main.
Plus, sure. We want only
literally thousands of questions now. You know, it's kind of hard to keep them.
You're inevitably going to happen. But yep.
Yep.
I tried. I'm sorry. I thought I was bringing something interesting to the table. That's my bad, folks.
All right. So it's me now, right?
It is.
Okay. Now, Justin, your sister was involved in the sport of Quidditch, correct?
That is correct. A number of years. And her future husband also was like on. He ran Quidditch. One of the people that behind the scenes running the sport for colleges.
Yeah, and they actually, I think, met, like, playing Quidditch, right? Isn't that how they first met?
That is correct. I think it's a little more complicated than that.
They're both on the Florida State Quidditch team?
Yeah, they eventually, I don't know if they were, yeah, I think that's correct, yes.
Okay.
But yeah, Florida State,
I'm wondering if any of that Quidditch knowledge spilled over onto you, if you soaked it up like a sponge. I don't think you're a Harry Potter fan. Mark, do you know anything about Quidditch?
I actually was thinking about asking a Quidditch question, which is very weird.
Wow, we're all on the same
I don't know much, but I know this one answer. So if your question is this, I will be very happy.
Wow. All right. Here's my question. In U.S. Quidditch, a volleyball is used to represent what Potterverse counterpart, which is worth 10 points when scoring?
Okay, not the question I was going to ask.
No? What was your answer?
What was my answer, or what was my question?
Well, what was your answer? I'm just curious what answer you're hoping it was going to be.
What?
Or are you saving the Quidditch question?
No. Do you want to know what the question and answer? Do you just want the answer to my question without knowing what the question is?
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever you want,
what
man.
The fuck
I was
are you
curious
asking?
What I was
the
curious what
was,
answer you were
how
hoping
many
I was
points
say.
Is the golden snitch worth?
Oh, okay. So you know it's not 10.
Yeah.
So isn't this the
it's 150 points, by the way.
Isn't the it's that bludgeoner or whatever. It's not. Maybe that's the name of one of the
bludgeoner. Fuck.
Is I think that's isn't that a name of one of the positions on Quidditch is like bludgeoner. I think.
Jesus
but
Christ.
There's like a ball. Like there's like it looks like a medicine ball almost that they are using.
That's the thing they throw around, right? That's the thing they throw around.
I don't fucking know, man. Like here's the thing.
I'm trying to tell you it is. They
great.
Throw
do
this
you know
ball
the name
around.
Of it? Do you know no. the name of it? Well, neither do I.
Volleyball.
That's what I'm trying to say. Volleyball.
It's like a medicine ball thing.
I actually think they
it's represented by a volleyball in the real life sport.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a volleyball.
Yeah, I think they maybe like designed something that's not a volleyball anymore, but the same size. I only went to one or two Quidditch. I went to a tournament, I think, in Fort Myers.
Ugh.
At, yeah, it was... It's a scene, man. It's a scene.
Oh, I believe
I've never seen the real life sport. Do they use brooms or do they not use brooms?
They have like a broom stand in, which I think at that time was like literally a piece of PVC pipe between their legs.
Jesus Christ. So you do have something you have to mime using a broom.
Look, they all seem to love it.
No, I don't want to yuck their yum.
The kids love
I'm trying not to yuck it.
I just got done saying I'm not going to yuck their yum.
That's what and then I'm you're saying. Like, don't I'm just do saying it. Don't. I'm just
well,
saying
you don't have
do
to
it.
Tell me not to because I just told I'm not going to.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing.
And then you said, don't do that.
I'm agreeing with you.
You're instructing me to do something I already told you I'm not going to do, Justin, and I'm not going to have it.
All right, baby. I'm sorry.
What is the Potterverse counterpart to the volleyball that is used in U.S. Quidditch?
Bludgeoner.
Yeah.
No, the answer I'm looking for is the quaffle. It's the quaffle.
Never.
It is not the bludger or bludger, nor is it the snitch. Those are the three balls used in Quidditch.
Quaffle sounds like a portmanteau of queef and waffle.
It really does. There's no denying it.
And I would not be surprised if J.K. Rowling came up with that specifically from Queef Waffle, which she is a Queef Waffle.
A nickname. The human quaffle.
What country, which declared independence from Pakistan in 1971, is called the Land of Rivers, as it is home to over 57 transboundary rivers?
Wow.
The Land of Rivers. Canada? No, that's lakes.
Canada.
They've got lakes.
Minnesota?
Also lakes. Also, neither of these near Pakistan.
No.
Nepal?
The old country of Minnesota.
Oh.
I'm desperately trying to look at a map in my head of the world. And Nepal's that's the part of the middle... That's the part of the Middle East that gets real muddy, like Pakistan and all that. Because it really gets close to Asia over on that side, obviously.
It is Asia.
A lot of it. Well, okay.
It is totally Asia.
Well, you know what I mean. You understand what people think as actual Asian countries compared to what people think of as Middle Eastern countries. Point being, it's muddy in my head.
Yeah, clearly. Me too, though. Mark knows the geography is not my strong suit.
Yeah, it's not necessarily mine either.
I think if I remember correctly, you have India, and then you have another country like Nepal, and then you have Pakistan further east.
Why do I think that Nepal...
And I think there's another... There's another country that might be above Nepal that this might be. Nepal's got a lot of mountains. I don't know if it's a rivers thing. That's the only thing. But rivers and mountains go together, don't they?
Not a big river town. Yeah, sure. Rivers and mountains go together for
rivers,
you know,
Cuomo,
runoff.
Mountains Cuomo. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Actually, do you know what River's brother's name is? Leif.
That's a traditional Viking name, I think. I am Leif Cuomo.
I think it was like it's like or leave anyway. Nepal sounds fine to me. I don't know exactly where Nepal is in relation to Pakistan, but that's I'm not gonna have a better guess than that either.
I think it's close.
Great. You want Let's me to go with Nepal?
That's incorrect.
Oh.
Lee, can you believe we got a geography question wrong?
The correct answer is Bangladesh.
Oh. Oh.
Bangladesh.
Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Okay.
All right. My turn. Yes? No?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Which Beatles album is the only one to exclusively feature only Lennon-McCartney compositions?
So no covers then, right?
No covers.
No George Harrison songs.
No Ringo co-writes.
No
Ringo
songs.
No Octopus's Garden.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So just it's definitely Lennon not McCartney. Any other later stuff. It's not the...
Could it be the White Album? I saw you stop, or I heard you stop. That's a double album.
I
started album.
Saying it, and I was, I know, and that's what's like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot to go through.
Yep. It's got a song on it about an amusement park ride named Helter Skelter.
God damn it, that might be it. It's a lot of songs to fucking go through. It's one of the most interesting things about it.
Back in the USSR.
Sgt. Pepper's has a Ringo song on it.
Rubber Soul. Full of other people's stuff, right? Harrison?
See, I think Rubber Soul has Norwegian Wood. Now, I mean... I don't know if Norwegian Wood is not... It's got sitar on it. What else does Norwegian Wood... Or what else does that song... That album... Sgt. Pepper says, Have a Little Help from My Friends.
Deep sussing right now.
It's a deep suss.
We got the deep and suss. And
I'm following my wife's rules by giving and talking no hints.
Nary a clue.
I'm intrigued by the White Album, to be honest.
So many songs, though. But it might be. Because, yeah.
Do you know anything about the making of that album?
Within You, Without You. See, all of that, like, all of that stuff, I think on Rubber Soul and on... Norwegian Wood is on one of them. Norwegian Wood is on Rubber Soul. And I think that Revolver has Within You, Without You, which was my mom's favorite Beatles song. And I think both of those may have been George inspired. And he may have gotten songwriting credits on both of those. The White Album... The White Album might be it. It's definitely not Sgt. Pepper's because that's got a Ringo song on it. I think they must have given him like a writing credit on that, even if he didn't write it necessarily. Should we go with it? Should we go with the White Album?
Yellow Submarine.
Yellow Submarine was on.
I guess there was a soundtrack. Yellow
Submarine
though.
Was on the soundtrack. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been. I was on Magical Mystery.
I don't know if that counts. What other albums are we missing?
Well, we're missing like Help.
Yeah.
It could be Help.
Help? Did Help have covers on it?
I don't think it had covers on it, but it may have had a Ringo song.
Hmm. The White Album is very juicy. Wouldn't you love to see it?
Let's go with it. Yeah, I'd love to see it. We're going to say the White Album.
The White Album is not correct.
Oh, fuck.
The White Album features four George Harrison songs and what I believe is Ringo Starr's first solo song credit on a Beatles album.
What song is that?
Don't Pass Me By.
Oh.
And you're missing the biggest George Harrison's arguably one of his biggest rock songs, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, is on the White Album.
Jesus Christ, of course.
Oops.
The album you're looking for is A Hard Day's Night.
Another earlier one. That was before Help even, I think, right?
It's their third record. Third US record.
Earlier.
Yeah.
We fucked up.
It was too juicy, and I mean, if I would have sat there and started going through track by track, which I started doing, but I figured it was probably something earlier because George didn't really find his footing until...
About Rubber Soul.
So it made sense. I just thought that maybe, because the White Album is when they really started playing a part, and it would make sense for it mostly to be... But that many fucking songs, there's no.
To be fair, though, most of the songs on the White Album could have been cut, but
I don't know about most.
Here comes, here comes Justin Peterson to give the Beatles advice.
I love the Beatles, but there's some dead weight on this record.
All right, all right. Well, let's take a break. You can fill us in. And we'll be back with a Rate My Question coming right up. All right, we're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question. All right. This question's from Joe from Philly.
Joe from Philly. Hey, what's up, Joe?
Wearing his jersey number on his sleeve.
On his sleeve.
Joe from Philly again, enjoying the show as always. Here's my question. The PNE Agrodome, located in Vancouver, British Columbia, was the setting for two underdog sports movies. What are the two movies? The PNE Agrodome, located in Vancouver, British Columbia, was the setting for two underdog sports movies. What are the two movies?
Hmm.
When I think of underdog sports in Canada, I'm thinking the Mighty Ducks. Yeah. What else? Did you say another movie, Mark?
I said the Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks isn't set in Canada, though, is it?
Well, I think not the first movie, but that doesn't mean that they didn't film it in Vancouver. But you could also look at the second movie where they played in definitely bigger spaces. They were like in a tournament. D2. D2, the Mighty Ducks.
Didn't they go to Greenland or something? Or
well, what do you think? Vancouver fits in for Greenland pretty well? I would say maybe I'm just thinking of a line.
It's been a while since I've seen it. So, yeah, that would make more sense, maybe, D2, because I do remember that. Cool Runnings?
No, I have no idea.
That's outdoor, right? That's like that's an outdoor track.
Yeah. What the heck is the that Will Ferrell basketball movie?
Semi-Pro?
Semi-Pro.
What, really?
Is that a Canadian movie?
Vancouver is the Hollywood of the North. They shoot a whole bunch of stuff up in Vancouver.
Oh, okay. So it could be anything is what you're saying. Could be Rudy.
I mean, Rudy takes place at Notre Dame. Yeah. And I believe they filmed that actually at that field. So,
yeah. Yeah. I was just joking.
Is there a movie about curling?
Not yet. I'm very excited about the Winter Olympics and curling.
Goon.
Is Goon an underdog story? But that would be, Vancouver football or Vancouver movies, you know.
Slapshot.
Slapshot. Oh, that might be good. I feel good.
Is that the
one
about the brothers?
No, Slapshots. Is this about brothers? I don't know if I've ever actually seen it. It has what's his face? I want to say it's Paul Newman, but I don't think that's correct.
There's a cult classic movie about like three brothers that play hockey. Can't remember what it's called.
I thought that was Slapshot. Am I wrong?
Oh, maybe it is. No, I don't know. I've never seen it, but I'm aware of it.
I am right about Paul Newman being in Slapshot. D2 feels good. Slapshot. I mean, are we just we're going with hockey because we assume it's Canada, it's Vancouver, so you can
right. Could it be like a so you want you're thinking we should branch out to other sports?
I mean, I think you could easily turn a hockey arena into a basketball arena.
Mm-hmm.
And think Space that, Jam, you know.
Yeah.
D2 and Space Jam.
Well, again, I'm trying to think of like
Space Jam is technically an underdog sports movie.
Yes, but you know, also think about
against
like
these like roided out cartoon basketball players.
Vancouver is not necessarily like when Space Jam 1 is what 1996. Were they shooting movies in Vancouver at that point, or were they still Hollywood based?
I mean, probably.
I would say that if it was a hockey arena and they needed hockey, D2 sounds good. And then as Vancouver, as a movie studio area, you know, movie production area, then that Will Ferrell one might be a fair shot, because that's definitely an underdog story for sure.
Okay, so we're going to go with D2 and semi-pro. Is that what we're going with?
D2, not the first Mighty Ducks?
Not the first Mighty Ducks. They weren't playing in big
enough
arenas.
We talked about how they travel, and yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, fine. Let's go with it.
Okay. Ooh. All right, well, we're wrong. And
how
I'll
wrong?
Tell you.
Very wrong?
Well, kind of wrong. There was a hockey movie, which would be 2004's Miracle, which I think is a Disney movie, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's about
and
it's about
that is
the
a,
Olympic
that is indeed
team.
A famous underdog movie or underdog okay. story based yes. on true life. And I'm sorry to say that we neglected one of the most popular underdog film series of all time, series that start off with a movie that was reportedly based on the life of one Chuck Wepner, and that would be Rocky, the movie in question, Rocky IV in 1985. Rocky IV.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Now we must rate the question. I'm going to take a second here and just kind of collect my thoughts on this.
Yeah, I'm really...
Justin, do you have a rating system ready to go?
I'm trying to remember what my rating system was last time. I think it was...
You can change it. Hey.
No, it's I think it was on a scale of Cyclops costumes.
I feel like it's missing... I can see that Lee is probably going to give this... No B. There's no built-in hint. It's a little too tough. I'm going to go ahead and give it an A-. There's definitely some good info in here. It's just got to either have something added to it, or it's going to be shuffled around in some way. I think it's a little too tough.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give this a piss. Capital P. Underdog sports movies. Great topic. You know, sports and movies, both very popular. I think that you selected some good choices here. And I mean, obviously you had to select them because they are both filmed in the Agrodome, the PNE Agrodome. But I think I give it a lowercase I. It's slightly interesting. You know, there's something there for sure. There's no built-in hint. You're right, Mark. So no B. And then I'm going to give it a lowercase s because it's two sentences. You can easily just say it was the setting for which two underdog sports movies. There's no reason to have a period and say what are the two movies. I mean, I guess if you're just trying to kill time or something, you know, in a live environment, sometimes I'll switch up the wording of a question when I repeat it so I don't repeat the same exact thing three times in a row. But just for a solid question, tighten it up. That's what I think. So I give this a piss. Justin.
I'll give it a 1970s era Cyclops uniform.
When he's got the bald cap on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's all right. It's not classic, but yet. It's not my favorite thing that he's got going on. But he's got the blue and gold look going on, so it's all right. I think that the, you know, it's just too vague, right? It, like so many underdog sports movies. It needs something else built in, like you said, just a slight built-in hint to lead us into the right area.
Even if you said hockey movie and boxing movie, there are a few underdog hockey movies, as we've established.
Multiple Rockies.
If you say, oh, well, it's got to be a Rocky movie, you've got six Rocky movies plus right. all the spinoff movies that came after it, you know,
correct.
Rocky Balboa, the Creed movies. So even saying boxing movie only narrows it down to a field of nine. You really have to like go in and think about the plot of each one and where they might take place and try and put it together. So I don't think there would be any problem making this easier by including those as hints. I think
because,
it would
yeah,
really
I don't,
benefit
that, you can that's not even a hint. It's just, okay, I'm narrowing the field, but still the options are limitless almost.
Yeah, because even by adding that hint, you're still looking at like a good 15 movies to go through mentally. And we could sit here for a half hour and start like thinking of every underdog sports movie.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and in a live trivia setting, you want it to be, I think, you want to build a path for the teams to get to the answer if they don't know it immediately. And if that path is, you know, 500 miles long, they won't walk 500 more. All right. They're just not going to do it. So give them a little built-in hint. That's what I think.
Just a tiny little boy of a built-in hint.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or please give us a call 1-929-356-6966.
Justin?
Yes.
Will you lead us off like a baseball man does?
I'm going to taking us home here at the end of the game. Here we go. Selling over 381 million tires in 2010 alone, what company is the world's largest tire manufacturer, beating out Bridgestone, Michelin, and Goodyear?
Michelin.
Bridgestone, Goodyear.
Bridgestone, Goodyear.
Those are just examples. There's this company beats out every tire manufacturer, so...
Mark, is Bridgestone Firestone? Is that the same company?
They might be related.
Hmm.
I think this is a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's a trick.
Because you know the answer?
I do. This is a, believe a Dutch company.
What type of company is it, Lee?
It's a toy company.
Dutch toy company. Mm-hmm. All kids love them.
Yep.
They've got original creations. They've count got licensed creations. Something for everybody. Lego.
That's it.
That's my thought.
That's correct.
Yeah! All right. I think this is a question that I might have asked. I was trying to get
you to count down to
three. Again.
So I could say it with you.
Oh, sorry. That's not going to work.
That's on me. That's on me. I went through the website. There was no mention of this. I looked up Lego.
I don't know that I've asked it on the podcast, but I think I asked it like one of my
this
very
man
early.
Asks like look, 60 questions a night.
I know.
And has done for a couple of years now.
I tried. So I can't go to all of his events. I'm sorry, Lee.
It gets increasingly harder and harder to write new questions.
Yes.
That's the thing. I think I was explaining about the Bourbon Street question.
Right.
I was, I couldn't believe that I'd never asked that. And I needed like an opening question for trivia. And I was like, well, it's supposed to be easy. But as I said in the last episode, I felt bad while I was asking it. I did ask that question it was my final question at quiz number 10, the 10th quiz I ever hosted.
Wow.
And we're up in the 380s right now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really interesting question still.
It is. So, it really is. It's a great question.
I loved asking it, and I totally get why you're attracted to it because it has an unexpected answer.
Aaron had me take out the word toy company. She had me just say company.
I
mean,
I think if you say toy company, that does point towards the answer pretty severely when you start thinking about it. Because what other popular toy companies are building cars? There probably are some, but you probably can't name them off the top of your head.
You can think like
Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. But like what's really interesting about the tires that Lego creates is they're using almost the same material for car tires. So it's a legitimate tire manufacturer. Yeah. It's really something else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, Mark.
There are five Pillars of Islam, highlighting the core beliefs of the Muslim faith. The Declaration of Faith, prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and what? There are five pillars of Islam highlighting the core beliefs of the Muslim faith. They are the Declaration of Faith, prayer, almsgiving, fasting, and what?
Oh, man. It's so hard.
How well do you know your Muslims?
I don't. I mean, I think you covered a lot of the ones that I would imagine. Praying, fasting, almsgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's
my favorite Declaration holiday. Of Faith? Is that the first thing you said?
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe, I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't want to sound dumb, although I'm about to. Like, you think, like, oh, maybe it's like some, like, reflection, or, you know, they've had the fasting, they've had some sort of, like, vision, or, you know, they've gotten closer to, you know, whatever they were looking for. So, but what would that be called? I have no idea.
Well, I was trying to think about, you know, words that I've heard surrounding Islam, and jihad is one that comes to mind. That is a unique feature of Islam. I don't know what that translates to. If that's the answer, if everything that he said was in English, but I don't know if the fifth one would be in English or if it would be something like jihad, like an Arabic word.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it would be the English translation of whatever it is, but what that is, I have absolutely no idea. No idea at all.
Is it self-sacrifice? Is that,
I don't,
I mean, that like, you know,
putting my hands up. I don't know.
I think martyrdom would be
hands up.
I think, you know, martyrdom would be taking it too far to say something like that. But I don't know, like, what I remember hearing that was, you know, in the news surrounding September 11th, jihad was a word that came up quite a bit. And Islam came under a lot of scrutiny around that time. And so that there was a lot of people talking about it in the mainstream. And I feel like I remember seeing somebody saying, well, this is like a part of our faith, but, you know, not in the way that, you know, these terrorists are using it, and, you know, kind of defending the term, I would say. Sure. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I don't know if it's right or if we're looking for something like, you know, sacrifice or something. I know that plays a part, not just in Islam, but sacrifice is an undercurrent in a lot of religion.
Yeah. Your guess literally is as good as mine at this point.
The Abrahamic ones, anyway. You want to go jihad?
Sure.
Jihad.
Sorry, it's incorrect.
Sorry, Justin.
Yeah.
And apologies if I got that definition wrong.
The correct answer. It's going to hurt you when you hear it. Pilgrimage is the fifth.
Oh, to Mecca?
Yes. I believe it's referred to as the Haji.
God damn it.
Pilgrimage.
All right.
A tough one. Yep.
I am kicking myself. That was it was easier than we made it.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the miscorrections on that one.
Oh yeah.
I can.
They're chomping at the bit, slobbering all over the keyboard. Just waiting.
Jihad is a struggle or fight against the enemies of Islam, or the spiritual struggle within oneself against sin. So I was totally off on that.
So keep your thoughts to yourself.
All right. Famous phrases, my final category for you guys.
Okay.
Famous phrases.
The good cop, bad cop police interrogation tactic is also known as what technique, which is named after two comic strip characters with differing physicalities who starred in what is commonly regarded as the first daily comic strip. The good cop, bad cop police interrogation tactic is also known as what technique, which is named after two comic strip characters with differing physicalities who starred in what is commonly regarded as the first daily comic strip.
This is going to go one of two ways. It's going to be something that he says and I'm like, I have no idea what that is. Or he says it and I'm like, mother fuck, I knew that.
Oh, I feel like this is on the tip of my tongue.
We got like a short and fat and tall and skinny thing going on, I think.
Mm.
Do you feel like you've heard this before?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I have.
Brooks and Dunn.
Rick and Morty.
The Brooks and Dunn technique. The thick and rich technique.
The boot scoot and boogie technique.
Oh. Okay.
It's Brooks and Dunn.
No, it was his hand going all close to the camera.
Well, there someone gave me a thumbs up on the video.
Hell yeah. Are you live streaming this?
No, it was up on the corner right there.
I might have. I'm typing stuff into my browser, so it might have slipped or something.
Okay, I was like, someone just gave me a thumbs up on this video. I honestly, like, I'm trying to desperately. Lee, you've done this to me now with the Mort Walker question a couple episodes ago when I was on, making me feel like a bad cartoonist and not the knowing Growlix. Things. Growlixes, yes. Mm-hmm. That was my backup question, not that particular one. But anyway, I'm drawing a complete blank. Mark, I apologize. I'm a bad person to lean on.
Good cop, bad cop. The
early comic strip.
Something
the first something comic technique. Strip, first daily comic strip. What could that, what was that?
I'm just like, I'm picturing like an old. It's so hard to let this go. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Ooh.
Man, I love that song, but I have to admit, pretty ballsy to make another Yesterday after the Beatles Yesterday. It's a great, I mean, not to knock, I'm not knocking the Boyz II Men version at all. I shouldn't even call it the version. It's a different song.
Yeah, it's entirely different.
Yeah. Just same name.
It's called It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday.
Oh, I thought it was called Yesterday as well.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then they knew better. Good.
I'm blank.
Come on, man.
I've been racking my brain this entire time and I cannot for the life of me come up with the name. It's right there. It's like right there. And I'm going to
close your eyes. Are you closing your eyes?
The blank and blank technique. Two comic strip characters with differing physicalities.
Short and fat, tall and skinny.
I got nothing.
We don't know. We're going to say Abbott and Costello.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
Oh,
damn it. The correct answer is Mutt and Jeff. Mutt and Jeff.
I haven't heard that. I had no idea.
It is the first daily comic strip. It was started by Bud Fisher, but Al Smith took over in 1932 and drew it until 1980. It was initially published by All American Publications, later published by DC Comics,
Dell Comics and Harvey Comics. And Mutt is tall and dim-witted there, and Jeff is short and fat. Jeff has mutton chops, though, which I think is pretty confusing that the character named Mutt is not the one with mutton chops. Maybe they had a silly joke about that. But yes, Mutt and Jeff. I've seen,
yeah, this is all, it's, that's been talked about in some of those Charles Schulz books that I've read. Like, he has,
hey, don't dig yourself into a hole here.
No, don't, I'm digging myself into a hole. It's on me.
Mutt and Jeff are mentioned in Twin Peaks. They're mentioned in the musical Annie, Disney's Aladdin stage musical, which, I mean, I remember that from like middle school, I think. In the TV series ER, Mark Green and Susan Lewis were referred to several times as Mutt and Jeff of Emergency Medicine by Doug Ross. So there's a few different pop culture avenues to get there. I will say 13% of my teams got that right when I asked this. So not a totally impossible question. Maybe better for the older crowd, though, I would say.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. People who are reading comics in the 1940s.
Even though we have gray on our beard, that's, it's not enough. That's the
Jeff technique. So, yeah, there you go.
Justin.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on with us.
Oh, yes. Of course. It's always a pleasure to be here with you boys.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Just my, you know, my Instagram page again at Justin Peterson, and keep an eye out for those comics, and keep an eye out for new Jeremiah's Italian Ices coming to a city near you. If you live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Denver, Colorado, or Cumming, Georgia, or God knows one of the other 80 places I'll be this year.
Cumming, Georgia.
I knew you'd like that.
And the Unbelievable Floridians.
Yes, the Unbelievable Floridians. Well. The comic about shitty Avengers living in the Florida Everglades. Everglades! Damn it! I did it! I see it! I said Everglades!
Damn.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media account with your friends. You can also leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Again, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify or Podchaser or Good Pods, those are all the best places to leave us a review. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page, unlocking so many amazing bonus episodes. They're coming out like hotcakes. Basically, just like little extra fourth rounds are bonus quizzes, and there's tons of other stuff. Check that out.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim at Pat's Garden Service, and our good friend Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG Aaron, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
And with reading Skyler's name, now is a good time to mention it was announced today that, unfortunately, Death by Taco will be closing for good soon. So please, please, please make sure you go down there and get some stuff before they close for good. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Grant, Rob, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Mood, Tim Gomez, a.k.a. Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, Ricky F., Justin P.
Hey, that's me.
Justin Pasta Pasta.
And Justin M.
Justin Mexican Fiesta. Fiesta.
Thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Megan, Christopher, Brandon, Ed, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.
Mike, condition is not an affliction.
Mike J.
Mike, Justin, we love to have you as a guest, buddy.
I thought you were going to say Mike Jihad is not what I thought it was. And Mike K.
Oh, yeah. Mike keeps a quaffle to beat down his bludgeoners with. If you like, if
you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast services. So many people have been so kind to do. Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.